Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Wagon Wheel Podcast presented to you by Bills Wire at USA Today SMG. My name is Matt Johnson, your host, and alongside with me every single week, my man, David. David, how are you, man?
Doing great, Matt. I'm in a 10-3 mood. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm a little embarrassed. I do got an issue, an apology to our listeners. Last week, I did not find this out until way too late, but I uploaded the wrong audio for the episode for our San Francisco recap episode. So I apologize for that. If you wanted to hear mine and David's thoughts, the audio is now corrected. But if you wanted to hear our thoughts on that, it is corrected. It is not the 5-minute clip that I inserted, probably from my other show, The 2-Point Conversation. So it is corrected. It's an hour-long discussion about San Francisco and in that game and a whole bunch of other things. But yeah, I mean, how could you not feel good? How could you not feel good if you're from Buffalo or supporting the Bills about that win last night? 10-3. That's significant. It's awesome. The Bills beat I'm going to say they're a good team. I know everybody's ragging on Pittsburgh right now, being the worst 11-0 team, the worst 11-1 team, the worst 11-2 team. But, Pittsburgh's always good. Pittsburgh's always at the top. You're always going to see them. And they're a very, very good, nicely run organization, very, very greatly coached team, you know, but the Bills are just put it together better and exhuming confidence right now, heading into this final stretch of the regular season.
Yeah, Buffalo beats Pittsburgh and improves to 10-3. And it's for the first time, by the way, since 1991. That we're at 10-3. Also the first football team with a name this season to be the Steelers. So fun jab at the football team of Washington. But Steelers only their second loss of the year. You're right. They have come under scrutiny. In many ways, you could say they're the Seahawks of the AFC, right? The Seahawks have had a great season, and people understandably kind of pick out, you know, some of their weak spots that teams target. And it's very true. I mean, the Steelers are starting to kind of show a little vulnerability and wear and tear at this point in the season. But what's interesting is that with this win, as well as a domino effect of other happenings, the Bills will clinch a playoff spot this week, prospectively. And what we need to do that is the win yesterday versus Pittsburgh, a loss by Baltimore tonight against Cleveland, a Miami loss against Kansas City, which happened, a Las Vegas loss against Indianapolis, which happened, and a New England loss or tie versus the Rams. We know how that went with the Rams winning that game. So right now we're 4-for-5 on the stars aligning for us to clinch a playoff spot. And the Bills have a 2-game lead in the AFC East, and that chance to clinch tonight if the Ravens lose. They can win the AFC East here, whether it's this week or in the coming weeks. For the first time since 1995, a year before Josh Allen was born, they also have 10 wins in consecutive seasons now. For the first time since 1998-99, it is their 13th consecutive game with 20-plus first downs, continuing to set a franchise record.
Yeah, they've been doing – everything has just been clicking, right? We acknowledged issues a couple weeks ago, and this team has not looked back at all. And that's important. That's growth. I think we talked about it last week, and even though it didn't make it to air until a lot later than we thought we wanted it to, this is the time of the year that you want your team to be good, playing good, getting hot. This defense is right where we want it to be from a rushing defense perspective, from a passing defense perspective. It's right where you want it to be. This offense cannot be stopped. The only thing that can stop this Bills offense is the Bills offense. Turnovers. This offense can't be stopped. Stephon Diggs can't be stopped. Cole Beasley can't be stopped. Josh Allen right now can't be stopped. His only errors are, you know, brought to him on his own. All right. This team is Tyler Bat. Like the names are endless. This is right where you want to be. And like yesterday's win, like I thought that was a nice, they've had statement victories this year. They've had a few. This was a really nice one against a good, a very good AFC opponent, which the Bills have struggled against this year when Kansas City and Tennessee, you know, so this was great. This is great to see that, hey, we can beat good teams and we can beat them when we're on, you know, national attention, and they beat them pretty handedly too. First quarter was shaky. First quarter was close. First quarter is always a chess match, feeling out the opponent, seeing what they're going to give and what they're going to take. And, you know, the Bills took a lead heading into the set into halftime and didn't look back, didn't look back, you know, just watching. It's a body language thing for me at this point. Like, I'm trying to understand tape and film study and why things work so well. But the one thing that I do notice is just body language top to bottom. Josh Allen looking more comfortable than he's ever had behind this offensive line. The offensive line looking comfortable, protecting Josh Allen. This is a offensive line that is stitched together. This is not a pre-plan coming into the season with these guys, continuous, like everybody where they, you know, this is not that. The body language of the offensive line looking very good. The receivers, Cole Beasley and Stephon Diggs, have a swag about them that I've never, ever seen. And I've been watching football for a very long time. Cole Beasley was down in Dallas, and I thought, always thought, yeah, he's just another guy. Very talented, just another guy, but he was never looked at as the guy. He's playing really well. Stephon Diggs always had a bit of a swagger about him, but there's just something special right now, and everybody gets it. And it's nice because there's no superstars. This is a team. This isn't Stephon Diggs being like, hey, I need some stats. I need some numbers. I need some targets. This isn't Cole Beasley being like, you know, not this, you know, I need looks. I need this. I need that. It's not about, you know, Josh Allen, you know, being like, oh, I could throw this ball or I could just take off and get the points myself. This team is very unselfish, but the important phrase there is that it's a team. It's a team, and it's been a while. Like, you know, want to know another squad that operates like that and is doing really good? Kansas City. Kansas City is a team, and the Buffalo Bills are a team, and that's why they're operating so successfully. The Bills finally got it. It only took them a long time, but the Bills finally got it, and they are functioning as a team, and that is a very, very good sign heading into the postseason.
You hit the nail on the head with that KSC comparison, because you and I have talked about this earlier this year, is that Kansas City isn't going and blowing teams out the way that they have in recent years. They're just winning on both sides of the ball. They're just getting good team wins. You know, people are doing their job and getting it done. And the Bills, what strikes me about them is that they're still a young team with veteran presence.
Yep.
They're still a young team with imperfections and stuff that, you know, we see at times during games that comes to the surface. When you can win despite that, when you can overcome those little imperfections and mistakes along the way that you make as you're growing to win games, we saw earlier in the season what that looked like. And now what's happening is they're making real adjustments. This is the first game that I've seen this season where visible adjustments at halftime came out onto the field and just executed across the board. I mean, that was significant. The defense continued to play well, but also we saw the offense, who struggled to put points on the board in the first half, and we weren't sure what we were going to get in the second half, come out with the adjustments that they made to do it. And we just outlasted and outmatched them in this game. We had 21 first downs to their 14, 71 total plays to their 55, 334 total yards to their 224, 104 yards rushing to their 47. The previous stat was passing. Also, the Steelers only saw the red zone twice in this one, and the Bills made it seven times total. So, you know, you could make a compelling case that we maybe should have had more points all in all, but I think we came out on top, which was pretty good. Both teams had two turnovers, and the Bills controlled time of possession, which, you know, is like a passion stat of mine. They controlled time of possession 35 minutes and 15 seconds. The Steelers 24 minutes, 45 seconds. So that, you know, the difference there showed. especially on that last possession where they ran out 7 minutes and 11 seconds of clock on one drive, which is talk about time appropriate game management. I have no problem with game management as long as it's at the right time. But that was pretty cool. Even prior to this game, you know, Josh Allen had won AFC Offensive Player of the Week for the third time, becoming the first Bill to do that 3 times in one season. And prior to this weekend, he was tied for second overall in the NFL with the most total touchdowns this season. He was on pace to break franchise records this season for yards, which is 4,359 by Drew Bledsoe in 2002. But the big one going into this game was total passing total touchdowns, which was 33, I believe, by Jim Kelly in 1991. And he would break that franchise record for most total TDs in a single season this game, scoring his 35th touchdown during that pass to Gabriel Davis. He threw for 238 in this one with 2 TDs. The run game was shared by Moss with 43 yards, who is panning out as a draft pick. I mean, it's kind of like over a full season sample size. And he's not quite wowing people the way Singletary did in his first year last year, but he's definitely getting it done, and he's definitely doing his job. And you know, with the exception of last week when he struggled a bit, has looked like as advertised for them. And Allen added 28 on the ground. Tyler Bass 2 for 3 with 8 points. And then Stephon Diggs was one of the other big stories in this game as far as like afterwards looking back on some of the numbers. He had 10 receptions on 14 targets for 130 yards and a touchdown, and he tied the team record for most receptions in a Bills season with 100. He became the first NFL player this season with 100, and he surpassed his own single season high in receiving yards this game too. So there's some good takeaways here, including those made by the Bills on the field, those made by the defense. They've now had takeaways in 8 straight games on defense, which, you know, early in the season was something that I was saying to you, Matt, why aren't we seeing this? We're used to seeing this from these guys the last couple of years. So that's been great to see.
Yeah. Things have really been clicking for the squad, you know, the records, the accolades, and just the way that they're coming out and playing, you know, it's an improvement to the turnover thing is a big deal, right? We see, I'll give an example of a team like the Houston Texans, who have been, you know, they have one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL today, Deshaun Watson. All right. He had, you know, this past weekend was a bad game for him, but for this whole entire season, he's played out of his mind, He's got this team on the cusp of winning games, but his defense is not helping him out, right? They can't get turnovers. They can't make stops, can't get off the field. And that was the case for the Bills for this year. Honestly, mostly the offense was bailing out the defense, which was not what we wanted. It was different than what we're used to, but it was not what we wanted as a unit, as a fan base, to see that. But now it's complimentary, right? You know, the Bills couldn't extend a drive. That's all right. The defense is going to go out there and get you the ball back, so you get another opportunity. And that is it's critical. That's crucial. That's important. And now it makes the eventual possible departures of Brian Daboll and maybe even Leslie Frazier at that makes it a little bit more concerning. Like, it's like, oh man, you're getting good to the point, you know, cause I definitely had some concerns with Daboll, or as Mike Tirico said last night's broadcast, Daboll. Brian DeBull, you know, I had some concerns about, you know, some of his play calling. He's gotten a lot better. Leslie Frazier, we had concerns about that defense for the longest time. He's gotten, you know, he's coached his team up to be much, much better. You know, the timing is everything. And I think it's almost like, I don't know, like you get like a feeling and a vibe. There's like a certain type of energy for how things are going and how things will translate. And I feel like this team is, you know, vibing and you know, towards something really special here this year. I do. You know, I'm not just blowing smoke. You know, we all know that, you know, the Bills aren't even my favorite team. All right. Not even by a long shot, but it's given me this opportunity to kind of look at them through a different and sometimes critical lens. But Like, you can't deny this team right now. You can't deny it, right? Josh Allen is playing some of the best football, obviously his best, personal best football, some of the best football that we've seen from a Bills quarterback in a long time, probably since Drew Bledsoe, even better than that. And, you know, and he's playing amongst the NFL's elite. You know, it's
a young guy.
And he's young. This is what we've wanted. This is what Bills fans have wanted. He is 24 years old. I think 24 years old. And he's playing at the same caliber, if not better than Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson. Like, I know it's weird, and there's going to be some awfully critical Bills fans out there who are like, you know, there's no way. How could you put him on the same pedestal as Aaron Rodgers? Look at stats from this year. Look at the games and the efficiency. Josh Allen's mistakes are mistakes that the best of the best in the NFL right now are making. Like, that's significant to me. That's great to me that Josh Allen is playing at that level. I mean, I think back at all these quarterbacks that have passed through, and everybody's like, "Woo, they're the answer. These guys are the answer." Rob Johnson. Oh, dear God. J.P. Lossman, Kelly Holcomb, Trent Edwards, E.J. Manuel, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Remember a couple years? It was just a couple years ago, too, when Terod got moved on from it, and we signed, the Bills signed A.J. McCarron. Everyone's like, oh, my God, A.J. McCarron's the future of the Buffalo Bills. He's the next starting. Like, it's crazy to think that the Bills fans had to endure all that. To get to this point right now where, yes, you have the best, one of the best young quarterbacks in the NFL, and he's just as good as anybody, any of them. So
we have the same record as the Packers too, right? Wins are not a quarterback stat.
And they're not.
Look at that. And I don't think that that's an unfair comparison considering that he's modeling some of his mechanics after Aaron Rodgers, and that made headlines this week.
He did.
So, you know, obviously those guys have a lot more experience under their belt. Each one of them has a Super Bowl title to their name. And, I don't think it's unrealistic to say we're on a trajectory that gives us a really good shot at adding that to Allen and the Bills repertoire. And thank God for that, Matt. I've been waiting my entire life to see a Bills Super Bowl. So, I'm very hopeful. I will say that the way they're playing right now and the way that the rest of the AFC looks has me even a little bit more, just a little bit more optimistic than earlier in the season. I picked them to go 12-4, had them as a second round playoff team at the least. And yeah. Now seeing their ability to, you know, we got to wait and see how they look in the playoffs. That's another thing too. But at least right now, you know, I'm still managing expectations, except that those expectations have adjusted. Those expectations have adjusted to say realistically, hey, you know, we might be able to make a run at the AFC championship game.
Yeah.
So I am very optimistic to that end. You know, I think them and Kansas City appear to be the two best teams in the AFC right now, arguably. And, you know, the way that they played against the Steelers, you know, obviously a different team could show up in the playoffs. And it's hard to beat someone with as much veteran experience and future Hall of Famer Ben Roethlisberger, whether it's a regular season game, but especially when it's the playoffs. So I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. Just that this win went even a bit better than I expected. And, you know, I'm feeling pretty good about that. To be fair, the Steelers were playing for, I think, the third time in 12 days. So with an older quarterback and with any team, I think this late in the season, that can wear on you a little bit.
Yeah.
They had been very good on the defensive side, but their offensive side struggled with drop catches last week and lost to Washington. And there was some snow coming down this one. That's nothing new to either of these teams.
No.
And so I wasn't particularly moved by that. I was like, oh, that's nice. There's some snow. And the one thing that I was kind of curious about, just straight up, is so the Titans team and then Juju Smith-Schuster from the Steelers have both kind of made some steady headlines over the season for deciding to go out and do things on the opposing opponent's logos, right?
One of those teams, yeah, now, one of those teams Titans, do it better than the other.
Seems like an aggressive move, right? Like
it's worked. It's absolutely on the road. It's worked ever since they started doing it. You know, they don't get beat on the road when they stay under the opponent's center logo. Juju Smith-Schuster, right, on the other hand, Juju Smith-Schuster, on the other hand, pull it back. All right. Focus on winning, not your TikTok. Okay.
Right.
Pull it back.
And he's a fun guy.
He is. Oh, I know. I love Juju Smith-Schuster. I love it. But it's like it's such a like arrogant, like, and I get it. It may be all in fun, you know, for likes and stuff. It is, but I don't know. Like when I see Tennessee straight up do it, right? Yeah, I'm not gonna put up with it. It's like, yo, you still look like it's like you're putting a target on your back. All right, Pittsburgh couldn't live up to that target being put on their back. I guess that.
Right.
I mean, he didn't go out of his. He kind of went out of his way to do it, but it wasn't like this big ordeal. I think it just got over. You know, it just got blown up, over dramatized. But like when Tennessee goes and does it, they're disrespectful, but they know they're disrespectful, right, and they go out there and they hurt, they put the hurt on teams. And you know, I know they got beat by Cleveland, I think at home. I think they were at home. Yeah, they were at home. So if Tennessee goes to another place and does it, it's a wrap for that team. But yeah, it blew up in Juju's face last night. Like yo. Slow down. I know you're 11-1, but like, slow down. You just lost to Washington. All right. Still think you're a great team, but it's like, yo, go stand on their logo after you beat them. You won't look as dumb. Yeah. You won't look as like, you won't be able to be ripped on. And I don't know. He's probably wiping his tears away with his sweet contract and, you know, his sweet payday. So he doesn't really care to the thoughts of plebeians like ourselves, but, but yeah. You know, Juju's doing all right for himself, but yeah, I was just, why add fuel to the fire? It never works. The one defensive coordinator for the Eagles that coached Calvin Johnson, right? A couple weeks ago, he said something to DK. He's like, yeah, you're great. But you're not Calvin Johnson. And DK Metcalf went off. 90s Bills memories. The one defensive coordinator making fun of the Hogs. And the Hogs beat up on the Bills defense. You just don't do that, especially right. The NFL. These guys are pros. They're going to do what they can. It's not like you're wrestling against some or like going up against some JV team in high school or some community college team in college. It's these are the pros. It's in any given Sunday. Like, and you just can't do that. But
it's like you said. It's like you said, don't give them fuel for the fire. Don't give them billboard material.
Yeah.
But you know what? I like it when other teams give us billboard material. Oh, yeah. I actually really like it when they give us fuel for the fire, because every little bit helps. You know, every little bit helps motivate and kind of spark the Bills a bit. Jordan Poyer said after the game that seeing the dancing on the logo pregame turned us up a little bit. So, I mean, I'm all for it. Anything that's going to awaken that sleeping giant on our defense, I'm for it. Juju seems like a good guy, and I know he's just having fun. So I hope he doesn't mind if we take the W and they take the L.
Yeah, he got the TikTok viewers, so he'll be all right. You got the likes on TikTok, and we all know that's the be all end all, right? That's what everybody wants out of life is social media validation.
We might see them again in the playoffs.
Oh, probably, most certainly. It's definitely not out of the realm of possibility,
right?
And especially with the way this AFC is unfolding, I am so excited. I'm a little like. As a general football fan, like I'm a little sad. It's just as a general football fan, because it's like, yeah, we went from the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, Patriots dynasty to, you know, possibly the early makings of a Kansas City dynasty, and then Buffalo's gonna be good for a long time. It's like, man, can we just get like a year off at least where we can just kind of everybody's got a chance? Like, can we just? But it's cool. It's the way it's how it's got to be. The Patriots left a void and the Bills are filling in for it. Kansas City's playing really, really good. I just, and the NFC is still just doing NFC things. Like you go look at the NFC and there's somebody new, like every year representing the conference. It's honestly, it's pretty wild how that all works. It's just a little observation of mine, but this is definitely a team, you know, the Bills are not going to have an easy road. There are a lot of good teams in the AFC postseason picture right now. And, you know, despite certain, you know, victories against some of them, and it's still an anybody can beat anybody type of field right now. I truly believe that, despite, you know, the fact that Buffalo's put the hurt on a couple of the teams, still an anybody can beat anybody field. This is probably one of the best AFC playoff pictures that I have lived ever to see, where all the teams are just that good. Just that good.
Yeah, I mean, this is not what I would call a statement game, but, you know, you could describe it as an indicative win, you know, it's a reflection of where the Bills are at this point in the season. They're showing the improvements that they need to show. I like the way that the defense played. Special teams look pretty good. They got a great stop just diving into this thing. And just going right into this first quarter, right off the bat, special teams got a great stop on the kick return by Pittsburgh to start the game, making Big Ben and company start from deep in their own territory, setting a pace right on defense, and the defense looked good. They got a good stop to force a punt on that initial steal drive, and the Bills offense gets the ball with good field position right about midfield. Unfortunately, some penalties put them back in their own territory, and they ended up kicking the ball away themselves. But the defense would get another stop, and Pittsburgh would kick the ball back to Buffalo. Their offense, the Bills' offense, was looking to move into Pittsburgh territory on a 2nd and 10 at the Buffalo 46 when Allen gets picked off on a deep pass to Beasley. So penalties and turnovers, again, on this one, seem to be a bit of an Achilles heel for the Bills this season, right? Like, that's across the board, I think, since the beginning of the year, been an issue that you and I have talked about. And, you know, it hasn't really hurt them to the point of costing them games, maybe in all cases, but it's definitely been an issue that's at least maybe made some games close for them. They need to be cost us scoring opportunities, or at least, you know, the chance to put more points on the board, or, you know, even given opponents opportunities, but especially on the offensive side of the ball, it's been an issue. Fortunately, the defense held their own and continued to hold their own against the Pittsburgh offense. And it was sort of a back and forth on possessions.
It was great.
That would continue. The game would be scoreless. And we were waiting to see who would blink first. So the entire first quarter was 0-0 game.
Yeah, there was 8 possessions for each team, 8 possessions in the first quarter alone. Huge testament to both these teams' defenses. And, like, you know, I like exciting football, but I'm like sitting there watching. I'm like, oh my God. It's like the one meme where they're poking the stick. It's like, do something, do something, make something happen. Right. And it just, you know, if you like defensive football, this first half was really, really good. I mean, eight drives in total. That's some games, like a half of football. For that to be one quarter, I mean, we got 1, 2, a couple 3-and-outs, punts, and like it's honestly pretty unbelievable. But it was, you know, just a testament to how hard these teams were playing, how bad they each wanted it.
Yeah, and it was close. I mean, it was like back and forth. I mean, they're similar cultures. We talked about, you know, the similarities between the two franchises, how they draft, both blue collar teams, blue collar cultures, blue collar cities, blue collar fan bases. A lot of similarities. They're great fans and great coaches. You know, Tomlin showed that last year when he was without Big Ben for the year. And I was wondering how much the weather was a factor here. One of the things I noticed going into the second quarter, Matt, was on some of the Steelers' possessions that they'd get within 40 to 50 yards in Bills territory and punt instead of trying to kick a field goal. And I wondered if maybe they weren't wanting to risk it with the weather, or if that was just a long kick for their kicker. But in that second quarter, just going into that. On 2nd and 10 with just over 9.5 minutes to go before the half, Allen hit Dawson Knox, who gained some yards on the play, but also fumbled. And Pittsburgh got their best field position of the game so far on that turnover. And on the ensuing drive, Roethlisberger connects on a 19-yard toss for a touchdown, putting the first points of the night on the board with 8:21 left in the first half. You could make a compelling case that had we not had that turnover, that this score differential by the end of the game would have been more than what it was. We kind of set them up for that. And it's one of those things that, much like you and I have talked about on like tip ball interceptions, it's like you hate to see that when it's your team that is the on the receiving end of losing the ball, right?
Absolutely.
But if it's your team that gets it, you're like, whoa, yes, yes.
Because
it's
big break.
Unexpected. It's kind of a surprise turnover.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what those possessions are like. Like when you get a turnover and it puts you in scoring position, it's great if you're the team that it benefits. It's tough if you're the team, you know, on the other end of that exchange. But, you know, that's something that even Buffalo has had times this season where we've been on the recipient of that and been in a position to score, but ended up having to settle for field goals. That would actually even kind of happen later in this game, just as far as being in the position to score and having to settle for three.
No, that's an important case. And it's like, I'm kind of glad that they're going for them too. You know, these field goals, it's really a difference maker, but it's good to have that kind of trust, I guess, in your kicker as well. You know, take them when you got them, take them when you got them. But yeah, it was most certain the interception thing is wild. And, you and I are going to be on the front lines of a NFL rule change, and nobody's going to hear about it because we're not coaches. We're not general managers. We're not NFL owners, but you know, got to defend our quarterbacks, got to defend our teams. Definitely something we got to look into. Hate those stats. Cause it's not a good reflection of a quarterback. It really isn't, but yeah, Josh Allen has been on the wrong end of a couple of those this year. We had that phantom one against the Rams, you know, a couple bobbles.
Unbelievable, that call.
Still, like, mind-blowing. As a Colts fan, I know. The Ravens picked off Phillip Rivers, and he's like, yo, you didn't have control at all. They gave it to him. That's what I get, I guess. But, yeah, it's something. And Josh, you know, it's something that you got to overcome, too. You know, I was we were talking about before on air about the interceptions with Patrick Mahomes this past weekend against Miami, right? He had a 2-touchdown-to-3-interception ratio. And the fact that his team still overcame it and won, you know, it's a big testament. And I think that's it for Buffalo, right? The biggest, one of the most, like, beta game plans, like keys to victory, is don't turn the ball over, right? That's what everybody says. Coaches say, don't turn the ball over. Whoever wins the turnover battle is going to win this game. And, you know, despite those turnovers, the way that Buffalo handled their business on this week was, you know, that's significant. And that's a testament to this team, mistake-free football. You know, cause like I said, the Pittsburgh's not a bad team.
A little bit to get there. I mean, the Bills got the ball back after those first Steeler points. Allen gets sacked and fumbles.
Yeah.
You know, right after that. Fortunately, Mitch Morse recovers it at the Buffalo 16, and they punted away as the Bills offense kind of continued struggles in that first half. And the Steelers defense wasn't doing them any favors because we know how good they are. And, but as Coach McDermott would say, they were beating themselves here on the early penalties and turnovers. So that first half could have gone a little differently, you know, without making those mistakes, but the Bills would get something good going on a drive downfield on their next possession to put points on the board, thanks to a Steelers penalty on a 1st and 10 at the Pittsburgh 31. Oh, yeah. A roughing the passer call gave the Bills 15 yards and a fresh set of downs, ultimately resulting in a 34-yard Tyler Bass field goal. But Allen and his receivers were having trouble connecting on that drive, but the drive looked good. He just was having difficulty connecting with them to get the ball, you know, in red zone territory, in the end zone. Steelers get the ball back and the Bills are in this game, but could use a big play to turn the tide, right? They had a good rhythm going off that last drive, but could use something to kind of just shift things, right, and get some momentum going in their favor. And Taron Johnson would deliver. Roethlisberger would throw on 2nd and 5 at the Pittsburgh 47 to one Mr. Smith-Schuster. And Johnson swooped in for the pick six, taking off to the red zone for 51 yards on the play. It was Johnson's first interception since his 2018 rookie campaign. It was also our first, believe it or not, our first defensive touchdown since 2017.
Really?
When Poyer took one back. Yeah. Like, you wouldn't think it's been that long, given how often we take the ball away, but from other teams. But yeah, Tyler Bass would unfortunately miss his second extra point of the season, making the score 9-7. But the Bills would have the lead and a good drive under their belts going into the half. Johnson would later leave this game after a play with a concussion. So we wish him a safe and full recovery. But at this point, I'm starting to feel a little bit better going into halftime. We have the lead now and hopefully can come out in the second half. You know, I'm optimistic that we can keep that rhythm and momentum going, put some more points on the board, build a lead in this game, and that our defense can continue to back us up to get that win at home. You know, nonetheless, the story of the first half before those final minutes was one of some costly turnovers and penalties. So I was hoping that that would flip the script.
Yeah, that was a big deal. And we had some unlikely heroes. You know, it wasn't your big time superstars, at least on the defensive side, right? These are guys who've been criticized, who are the butt end of jokes quite a bit, step up. And this, I mean, Taron Johnson, like this pick six was significant. That stat line about them not having a defensive touchdown since 2017, my head literally just exploded on the inside. Like, that's how crazy. Like, that is hard. It's hard to believe because we've had so, like, much, much better defensive performances and units than what we've seen this year. But to have that, you know, it was, I mean, watching the play, he read that beautifully. He read it. It was like a quick little out route, and Taron Johnson, he just swooped in and grabbed it. And he had a clear running lane. Like, you know, Big Ben isn't going to catch. And just that reaction time, like, that's the difference. Like, that's such a huge one momentum shift. Cause honestly, that play did shift momentum going into halftime. And then obviously going into throughout the rest of the game. I wasn't really close after that, but I mean, how deflating that must have been. I mean, that's the only thing, like, for Big Ben, like the Steelers team who can't get a run going, passing is like, that's all they could do on the day. And then you take that away and put points on the board for yourself. That's incredible. But a big testament to this team. And it's one, it's depth, and two, it's heart, you know, like I said, it's, you would think a play like a pick six, it's got to be one of the you know, the linebackers or one of the cornerbacks or something like that. One of the, you know, one of the big time, like your Trey Whites and stuff like that. So this was very surprising, but a very good, you know, good on Taron Johnson, who, you know, he's not one of the most favored pieces of the defensive unit. Like, I don't think people are rushing to the stores for Johnson's jersey, but regardless, I mean, that's how you gotta, that's how you maintain a roster spot, that's how you keep fighting, you know, you just don't give up. And that was a huge play, and it definitely changed, because yeah, it was all Pittsburgh the first half, honestly, from a scoring perspective, and that changed everything. So huge play to go into halftime, knowing that you just racked up some points there.
10 punts, Matt. 10 punts between the two teams in this first half, which tied the most in any half of a game this season. The Bills had been really good on converting, so we're not used to seeing this much punting from them this year.
Yeah.
And I'd wondered if they'd be able to make the adjustments needed on the offensive side of the ball, and if the defense would be able to stay consistent coming out of the half, because for you and I, that's been, you know, a weekly topic of conversation for about the past month, going into the bye week, coming out of the bye week, was that was one of the biggest areas that they needed to adjust, right? Was in third quarter performance. making adjustments at halftime, being able to respond to the adjustments that their opponents were making. You know, it was a little sloppy in the first half, right? Dropped catches, fumbles, an interception. You know, those are things that you want to see guys bounce back from in this game because it's within reach. I mean, this is a very close score. You know, we now have a lead thanks to the defense, and you're coming back out with possession. So, you know, the Bills, when the third quarter, the Bills get the ball back to start the second half. And on the drive, Devin Singletary had one of the first big runs of the game, and it was a 14-yarder. You know, like that's how kind of, you know, contained the offense had been. So they followed that up with a pass to Diggs, who gets the first down. A scary moment where Dawson Knox goes down, but he would be okay. He'd walk off the field and would come back in this game. Two plays later, Allen hit Diggs again on a 2nd and 9 for a 19-yard touchdown, and Tyler Bass would put them up. Diggs really helped this offense get going here in the second half.
Yeah, Diggs was a bully. He was a bully out there. And it's so good to see a stubbornly tough wide receiver. I mean, we have multiple of in that category, but Diggs can't be covered. Diggs cannot be covered. You know, maybe he's had one down game, but he's just bullying people, and they're leaving him wide. They're leaving him open. There's like nobody within like 5, maybe 10 yards tops, and he's. But he turned it up in the second half. Like, he had a significant stat line by the end of the game, and it was mostly all from the second half. Just him getting the ball and going up. Like, I don't know the count, but I know he accounted for a lot of first downs in that second half. Anytime the ball hit his hands, he just go. He would just go. Or he was in the right spot to extend drives. And, you know, just further proving that trading a first-round pick for Stephon Diggs was the best thing that could have happened. That's everybody loses their mind when you trade away a first-round pick for anything. Like it's, obviously there's a bit of risk involved. A new person and a new system, there's a little bit of uneasiness, but
right.
I mean, it's paid off in dividends. Like, take the first-round pick, Minnesota, take it. I mean, they panned out. It was a win-win trade for both of those teams, but you know, Buffalo's done very, very. Diggs coming to Buffalo, you see a new sense of, you know, just new level for Diggs, right? He's in here. There's a very crowded wide receiver room, and Diggs is still producing the way that he has. It's astounding. And like on this day, like too, this is a little stat too. Diggs is leading receptions on the season this year across the NFL. So he's up to 100. He just edged out Keenan Allen, who's at 99. But, you know, so in a crowded wide receiver room with very, very talented individuals, Diggs is still producing at a high level and at a NFL leader level, not only just from yardage, but from targets, from use, from receptions. There are so many like unsung heroes. Like, it's so easy to just be like, yo, Diggs is the guy. But it's refreshing. It's been so long since we've had this type of wide receiver talent. You know, even when T.O. was here, I wouldn't put T.O. in the same category as I do Diggs now. I just wouldn't. That's how good Diggs is playing. Honestly, it's very refreshing to see.
Yeah, he continued to make his presence known in that third quarter as well. I mean, the defense did their job even after that first touchdown that he had. They continued to do their job and got a big sack on Roethlisberger courtesy of Matt Milano on a Pittsburgh 3rd and 9. And they punt giving Buffalo the ball back pretty promptly, you know, right after that scoring drive. And Allen would then lead another one on 4 plays and 57 yards. We've seen him do things like this season. And, you know, when you talk about franchise quarterback, when you talk about a guy that can get it done, we love to hear efficiency drives like that, 4 plays and 57 yards We've talked this season about whether Buffalo could get, you know, put their foot on the gas in the second half of it. And they get some rhythm going here. We'd wait to see if they could keep it up, but because you know the Steelers weren't gonna stop chipping away and fighting. So a 22-yard pass to Diggs, a 19-yard pass to Diggs, a short run by Moss, and a 13-yard pass to Gabriel Davis for the touchdown to break the Bills franchise record for total TDs in a season. It was important, I think, for the Bills offense to play well this time around without John Brown for a few games, unlike earlier in the season when they struggled when he was out for a few. And they're doing that. I mean, this is what you want to see. Tyler Kroft's out too. You know, he was kind of one of those guys that they went to a bit while Brown was out. And even when he came back, I mean, he was a tight end that, you know, they were going to. And so that gives me optimism, Matt, going into these last few games of the season, is that if we're playing this well right now, right, against the teams we have the last few games without John Brown, adding him back into that mix where we're looking ahead against a team in Denver who we can beat, but that also can surprise teams.
Yeah.
Right. Like if teams underestimate them or don't come prepared, they can surprise them and steal a win, get away with a win there. They're good enough to do that. Shouldn't even say steal or get away with one. They're good enough to go in and win a game from time to time there.
Certainly.
And then of course, you know, our divisional foes in New England and Miami, playing against a Bill Belichick system, essentially, and Bill Belichick defense. And then obviously Miami has added Tua under center, and he's having some rookie success there, albeit not this week against the Chiefs. And then they have that good defense on the other side of the ball. Each one of those, I'm sure, will be a game for sure. You know, like that, I don't doubt that those will be games, but they're games that we could and arguably should win. You know, just looking at that, Miami's the one that stands out that might be the toughest down the stretch on both sides of the ball. But I'll be interested to see how those go. I'll be interested to see if we went outright or if one of those teams gets the best of us or how that goes. But on this kind of third quarter, my parting thoughts on it before we move into the fourth, Allen went 8 for 8 passing on 104 yards and 2 touchdowns here on the first 2 offensive drives of the second half, looking more poised, right, as a team and as an offense in the third quarter than earlier in the season. Obviously the defense looked a lot more poised and consistent, you know, in the third quarter and in the second half than earlier in the season, when that was a topic of our podcast conversations, was, you know, where are the Bills' weaknesses? Well, they struggled to get at that time, you know, they struggled to get the run game going and the defense has struggled.
Yeah. And again, the third quarter, like it's, I don't even have to, we don't have to say it anymore. Like the third quarter issue of letting teams back into the game. Cause it just didn't happen here. It hasn't happened in a month, right? It hasn't happened since the Arizona game. That's good. That's progress in my person. In I think many people's opinions, that's been their biggest Achilles heel. You know, this year was letting teams back in games that should have been done and counted out in the third quarter. So yeah, it's and like after you know, after the at halftime and they you know, they come out in the third quarter and they put some more points on the board. There wasn't a, you know, again, it's that moment of doubt. Like there wasn't a moment of doubt in me for that Buffalo, you know, was going to lose this game. And that's good. That's good. Cause I've seen many Buffalo Bills teams where I would be like, yeah, we've seen it this year with Arizona. So, yeah, the third quarter thing is like been vastly improved defensive. You know, they're playing tight. Josh Allen performing well in the third quarter is great. That means one, they're adjusting well, and two, that teams are struggling to adjust to Josh Allen in the third quarter now. And that is a very, very good sign going into the postseason. Cause if teams can't adjust to Josh Allen, he's going to pick you apart. He's got all the weapons that he could ever ask for outside of a really dependable, true tight end one. Like that's about it. It's been a tight end by committee type deal for most of his tenure in Buffalo. But I'll say that, you know, if you can't stop Josh Allen, if you can't get to him and put him on the ground, he's got to pick you apart. And he's doing that. You know, you said what, 8 for 8, 104 yards passing against the Steelers defense, which is, you know, banged up, but still really, really good. Two really, really good defenses in a row, 2 weeks in a row, San Francisco and then this Pittsburgh one. And Josh Allen has made mincemeat out of him. Like, that's really good. That's really good. And this goes, the sky's the limit, man. The sky's the limit. You know, they're not going to face too many really, you know, standout secondary. I mean, the Patriots secondary is going to be, they're going to be tough. They're going to be ferocious. The Dolphins is, you know, has some talent there. They picked off Pat Mahomes 3 times, as we've already mentioned. But, yeah, this is trajectory-wise, like, there's confidence now where, you know, if this team was sitting close to this point a few years ago, it's like, oh, please don't blow it. Now it's like, oh, we got this. We got it. The Bills have this swagger that the 90s team wished they had. I will say that the 90s team wished that they had. All right. That I don't foresee any comebacks, any need for big comeback games. If it has to happen, it will. Hopefully. But, you know, there's going to be no falling behind for this team. Like, this is the most confident Buffalo Bills team that I have ever lived to see. You know, I'm sure a lot of people will want to see a Super Bowl appearance or championship before I start making any more comparisons to those 90s teams. But the confidence, man, it's there.
Best team we've had in a long time.
Yeah, it is.
Best team we've had in a long time. Yeah, it is for sure. Feel pretty good going into these last few games. And I think what we, you know, after how, you know, the question of how we'll play in those games, for me, the question is, what team will we be in the playoffs? Will we continue to show up and play situational football? You know, because when we do that, we win. You know, when we really show up and play well and make adjustments, and, you know, we win games, and a win's a win. So you can be just the better team that day, you know, and walk away with a win. So when I'm thinking about some of the better teams that we might face off against at some points here in the playoffs, that's kind of what I'm thinking of is, that's why I like our chances. And even, you know, a topic like, say, like the AFC championship game, all of a sudden is now at least a realistic enough one to have a conversation about or to make mention of.
Yeah.
As far as being a possibility, you know, that's a huge difference. And so, you know, you look at a game like this one, right? Coming out of the third quarter, they did the things that they needed to do to get a lead. But they, in the fourth quarter, you know, they won the clock down, fourth quarter starts, they punt the ball to the Steelers. And Pittsburgh wasted little time in reminding why they were undefeated before last week. Roethlisberger led the offense downfield to put them right back in this game.
Right.
A holding call from Matt Milano on 2nd and 3 of the Buffalo 6 helped their cause, after which a couple plays later, Big Ben connects with Smith-Schuster to put 6 on the board. And they go for 2, and they make it a 1-score game. So, you know, this is one of those points where I'm wondering, hey, is this going to be a close one? Right, because we've seen that in games earlier this season where you and I all have these conversations afterwards and we're talking about how close it had been. I think I remember, I'm not sure where it is exactly right now, but I remember when they were playing the Chargers, both teams were in the top 5 in the league with games decided 10 points and under. I think the Chargers were number 1 and the Bills were number 5.
Yep.
So close games are nothing new to them. I just wondered whether this would be one or not. And the Bills got the ball back after that with about 12 minutes to go in the game. And you can see them trying to kind of, you know, punch through to get downfield. A first down catch by Isaiah McKenzie kept their next drive alive. And then later in the drive, a deep ball to Dawson Knox. Mike Hilton from the Steelers gets a flag for pass interference, giving Buffalo the ball at the goal line. So they got a great shot here. And this is what I was talking with you about earlier, and this is something that we have seen a bit this year, just a bit, is they just can't put the ball in the end zone. Now, most of the time, they're pretty good. I'm not saying this happens all the time, obviously, but there's just been times where they have to settle for a Tyler Bass field goal. I'm grateful for those 3 points. Every little bit helps, and this puts us up. He does. He kicks one, puts us up by 11 with 8:10 left in the game.
Right.
So no complaints there. Anytime we can add points to a lead, I'm just thinking in terms of if there was, like, if you and I were to have a conversation now, right, similar to the one that we had over the bye week, where we're saying, where do we want to see improvement? Where can they take a next step? I would say that's it. Like, you know, looking at the remainder of the season, and I know we've only got 3 games to play. I'm speaking purely as a hypothetical. You know, that's one thing that I'd like to see. If there was something I could say, hey, that's somewhere I'd like to see them take the next step in, is in those situations. You know, even though the Bass points help, punching it through, getting it into the end zone, I think that that's kind of like something to keep an eye out for as far as this team taking the next step in their progression. I think when we start to see them doing that, that's going to be another sign, right? Like we've been talking even in this conversation today about the things that we're noticing that are showing signs of their progress, signs of them taking those steps forward. I think that's one of the next steps that we can keep an eye out for. And, you know, fortunately the defense did as the defense does. You know, the Steelers got the ball back down 26-15. And they got one by our defense on that last drive, but we'd contained them otherwise most of the day, forcing a lot of punts. This was interesting, just like a small tidbit. We punted it to them, or we kicked it off to them, rather. And was it a punt? Anyways, we did. We kicked the ball to them, I think, after the Bass field goal, and kicked off. And Ray McLeod, you know, former Bill, Ray McLeod is the return man on the kickoff. He tries to hurdle Jordan Poyer, who is not having it. He just, you know, stopped him from going over him and kind of flipped him in the air.
Yeah.
A little shove by McLeod after the play. Then on the third play of the ensuing drive, Roethlisberger tries to go big on 3rd and 4. And this is what I wanted to bring it to ask you your thoughts on this, because you talked about Taron Johnson earlier. He throws from the Pittsburgh 29. He throws the pass downfield, gets picked off by the Bills, Levi Wallace, at the Buffalo 29. Wallace gets his second pick of the season. The reason I wanted to bring it back here is we talk about progress and we talk about, you know, guys having a day. Taron Johnson, Levi Wallace especially, have been targeted by opposing quarterbacks, right, this year?
Most certainly.
When they're looking for who to throw to against the Bills and who to target, like, they're going after Levi Wallace and Taron Johnson. So for those two guys to be the ones that got those turnovers today, how significant was that to the Bills, do you think?
It was huge. That's what I was alluding to earlier about, you know, we had some unlikely heroes on this defensive side today. You know, it puts a little respect. You know, are they still going to be targeted? Probably a little bit, but they were just tired of getting bullied. And they produced, they made, you know, they made work of it. And, like, that's why I gave Levi Wallace the player of the week nod this week for Bills Wire, because, you know, I mean, this is a great team win. This is a great team win. Everybody played pretty well. Like I said, compliments to the offensive line, compliments to Josh Allen. The running backs are doing what they can do. Wide receivers are playing well. Defensive front is playing well. But, like, Levi Wallace does not have great games ever. They're not significant games. He's usually, you know, getting the finger pointed at, getting the old finger wag of shame from a lot of, you know, armchair quarterbacks and armchair coaches and analysts, people that get paid to analyze. He's usually in, you know, a bit of shame. But, you know, the Taron Johnson was awesome. A pick six that really set the pace for the rest of the game, set the tone for the rest of the game. But the Levi Wallace interception, that was it. That was it. There was no coming back from that for Pittsburgh. And not only, like, it didn't matter that the Bills took 7 minutes off of clock at that time when it happened, but there was just not enough time. There was not enough time. You know, there's momentum if Big Ben and the Steelers you know, they march downfield and they score on that drive. There's momentum and there's a chance to make things happen. But that was a lock. That sealed the deal. And that's big when there's 7 minutes left on the clock and the game is pretty much over, especially in one as hard fought as this one for both teams. But yeah, I had to give Levi Wallace the nod in this one. I don't know when he'll ever get a Bills Wire player, an astute, you know, highly valued Bills Wire Player of the Week nomination, but he did it, man. And that's why this team is special, because it's not here. Here's a little philosophy I was taught as a high school wrestling coach. You're only as good. You can have superstars. You can have superstars. You can have all the superstars in the world, but you're only as good as your weakest wrestler, or in general sports points, your weakest athlete, your weak point of the field. All right. You're only as strong as that. You can have a murderer's row of stud athletes that go out there and they go above and beyond expectations every time. But if you have people that aren't quite on that level and they're not doing enough to even be average, that hurts the team. Think like for a football perspective, let's take a look at like Detroit. All right. Matthew Stafford, Calvin Johnson, really good, talented guys, but not the supporting cast to make anything do of it. Levi Wallace has, and Teron Johnson have been those guys, been those weak links on this star-studded defense that have been picked apart, bullied, and all they have to do is just enough. And on this day, they were both heroes. I honestly should have gave them both the Player of the Week award. I honestly should have, because, you know, like I said, I'm not some mastermind of how these guys play, but I see the criticism. I do. And for them to come up with big plays like that, like that speaks one to, you know, it was like that little brother that finally did something or finally landed a date or something like that. Like that's what it was comparatively. Like I was happy to see these guys who, you know, just they're never going to be the most paid at their position. They're not even going to be the second, third, 10th, 20th most paid at their position, but they stepped up and make plays. And that is culture. That is culture. Nobody understands culture until you're wrapped up in it. That is culture. Well, I'd rather have egos and star players than culture. No, you have what this Bills team has right now, and that's culture. And you see the team ran over and they were celebrating. They were all excited for them. That's culture. And that's a winning culture at that. So very happy to see these two guys, you know, they've been around for a little while doing some good. And yeah, that last one was the game breaker for Pittsburgh. There was no coming back from that.
The clincher.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I do like what we saw from the Bills here too, at the end of this game. You know, they had a chance to run down the clock and possibly score, you know, while aiming to put this game fully out of reach for the Steelers. But that Wallace pick really got that, I think, got it done a little early for them, right? A little earlier in that last quarter than maybe they anticipated.
Yeah.
And what a big help. You know, Allen gets a good drive going on the next offensive run down the field. It's a big 28-yard run, which unfortunately got called back on a Mitch Morse holding call. A solid third and 11 at the Buffalo 28 to Dawson Knox, who catches and then gains 16 yards on the first down, complete with a stiff arm on the defender. For posterity, I always want to mention my Dawson Knox stiff arms there. Moss adds 6 runs on the final drive that included a solid gain on the second and 5 at the Buffalo 48 for 13 yards that put them into Steeler territory. And then Allen gets a QB sneak on a 3rd and 1, the Pittsburgh 30, to keep the drive alive as we reach the 2-minute warning. Then, after a short Moss run, Allen rolls out, runs on an 11-yard gain for the first down. And a couple of plays later, takes a couple of knees, and that's the game. You know, the Buffalo offense runs out 7 minutes and 11 seconds on the clock on a single drive to end this thing. Bills improved to 10-3, and you know, it was kind of a tale of two halves here. If you look at Allen's numbers, his completion percentage in the first half was 43%, in the second half it was 70%. You know, 76 yards passing in the first half versus 162 in the second half. yards per attempt in the first half, 3.3, and then the second half was 8.1. Needless to say, Stephon Diggs helped that cause quite a bit.
He most certainly did. You know, we can go on and on about the greatness of Stephon Diggs, but that might be one of the longest drives of all time. I'd like to honestly see, there's got to be a record for like longest drive of all time. And that might be up there. That certainly might be up there. I would like to do some research in that regard, but this is good for the Bills. Good for the Bills on this one. They've been, you know, how many times the second time, 2 years straight that they've played the Steelers with playoff implications, but you know, I have memories of the 04 Steelers? 04 Bills and Steelers, where I think the Bills just had to beat them in week 17 and they would have made the postseason, and they couldn't. Like, they just looked bad on all aspects. Like, I think Pittsburgh was already going, but the Bills needed a win to go into the postseason, and they just couldn't get the job done. And, right. You know, so this is like, it's just a change of fortune, you know, just a big kudos to what this team is. So, you know, a significant win, very, good for them. Good for them. What'd you think of that? I don't know if you watched this, seen this a little bit, but what'd you think of Eric Ebron bumping in on Josh Allen's postgame interview? It seemed a little off character for him. It was a little weird.
You know what? It was a classy thing to do. It was a really nice thing. Cause I mean, Allen, something that, I mean, he's a likable guy, right? Like he seems like, I mean, to literally quote, I think the refs and McDermott during the last game, a good kid is what they called him.
Yeah.
Like, he seems to be somebody that's generally liked by his teammates and by guys in the league and for the most part. And so, you know, any show of respect like that from, you know, an opponent is cool. I mean, that's something that's impressive. I take it as validation in a sense of where we're at as a team, where we're at the quarterback position. You know, people have drawn comparisons between him and Ben Roethlisberger. You've heard me say that, you know, I think he's a little bit of a hybrid between Roethlisberger and Philip Rivers.
Right.
And I also, you know, believe that him and Justin Herbert are two guys to watch, you know, in this next generation of quarterbacks. They're both big guys with big arms that both have looked really good at times young in their career, and that are going to be guys we're going to be talking about probably for years to come, along with the Patrick Mahomeses along the way. And, you know, what a cool sign of acknowledgement and respect just to have somebody kind of, cause you know, he had a little fun with it. Cause you know how professional athletes are expected to give, especially the quarterback, right? Who's the face of your team and the face of your franchise, in many ways, are expected to get up and give the right answers. And Allen does that. You don't see him, you know, pulling any of those this wonky post-game pressers, you know, where guys sometimes air out grievances or say things out of character.
No, he takes criticism well.
He takes responsibility for what he can. He says the right things and he answers questions the right way. And to do that at such a young age, you know, I mean, I know they're groomed for this, but man, you know, I think he was having a little fun with them there on that note too. It's just like he in a playful way, it was kind of like, yeah, you know, wins. That was pretty cool.
No, that was definitely a nice little touch, but yeah, what a game for the Bills. We're about to wrap it up here on this, you know, for this episode, whenever it ends up dropping, hopefully I put the right episode in this time. But next week, the Bills are playing the Broncos, and then we have the Patriots and then the Miami Dolphins in week 17.
Sure.
You know, this is a exciting final stretch. There's a lot that can happen. There's a lot that can change. Most certainly so. But I just wanted everybody to kind of put into perspective how fortunate that we are to have a NFL season this year. All right. Mm-hmm. You know, There's so much gets taken for granted now in our lives. And we're kind of starting to see, I think people are starting to see that a little bit, but I wanted to get a little preachy on this. You know, a few months ago, I didn't know if we were going to get NFL football. I didn't know when we were going to get sports again. I didn't know a lot of things, and I still don't know a lot of things, But I wanted to, you know, it hasn't been perfect. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, for me, and this is not me as a Bills Wire host. I mean, I volunteer my time. I don't get paid to do this, but I do it because I love it. Okay. I write, I do podcasts for Bills Wire. I have my own show, The 2-Point Conversation. I am a fan. I love watching football. It is a very important aspect of my life. It is not, it doesn't define who I am as a person, but it's a big part of who I, if that makes any sense. I just want everybody to realize how lucky that we are. And unfortunately it hasn't been to the point where, you know, we can go to New Era Field. Oh, not New Era. Ooh, shouldn't say that. Bill Stadium. It's not that point where we can go see Bill Stadium, but just be happy that we got through this football season. It's almost done. You know, there's been a couple hiccups in the road, but I think the NFL has done a very good job, and I'm grateful. Honestly, if I didn't have football this last 4 or 5 months, I wouldn't have a whole lot to look forward to. All right. It's been a hard year. It's been a difficult year.
I'm 2020 has been tough.
It's been rough. All right. I don't know where my future lies as a person in the workforce or just what. There's a lot of uncertainty. So I did want to say that I am grateful that I got to enjoy NFL football this year. You know, kudos to the athletes. There's a lot to overcome this year. There's a lot of protocols that had to be established, and, you know, everything just kind of came together just right. So, be grateful, be happy. Even if this year doesn't end in a Super Bowl, will it be a disappointment? Yes, but be grateful that you got to enjoy football. You got to go through the highs and lows of being a football fan for another year. And there was no year gap. You know, you got the emotional roller coaster. So I just want people to put that into perspective, because I think it's an important thing that sometimes gets lost. You know, there's so many people cancel the season, don't have football. It's like, you know, I get it to an extent from a medical perspective, but it's like, you know, if it gets canceled, it gets canceled. If not, you know, just let people enjoy it. Just let people enjoy it. And, you know, I think a lot of people have enjoyed this roller coaster this year.
Yeah. Perspective really matters, especially in a year like this one. And something I was thinking about, Matt, when you were talking about things to be just thankful for, right? Really put things into perspective. You know, if Baltimore loses tonight, we clinch a playoff spot. You think about the difference, for example, in that between a few years ago when we got in on another team's win, right? On a Cincinnati win, got us in. Or when we made the playoffs, you know, kind of on the fringe last year.
Yeah.
Look at the difference a year, you know, can make year to year there, where now we're looking at prospectively, possibly, clinching a playoff spot with 3 games left in the regular season. You know, so from a Bills and a team perspective, you know, that's huge. I mean, that's a big takeaway that we can feel good about, and hopefully that brings people comfort, like you said, in a tough year. From a league perspective, you know, it's like you said, we could have not had football. I mean, how many close calls did we have where we had to, I mean, how many games had to be shuffled, right? Rescheduled.
Quite a few.
Breakouts and stuff like that.
Bills suffered through it. Yeah.
It could have gone differently. So I'm thankful for that as well.
It certainly could have, but that is a wrap for us listeners. We want to thank you for your support through this year. And again, I apologize for last week. It was a small human error, but the episode is up in full. So if you want to go listen and hear what myself and David had to say after the San Francisco 49ers game, we'd love for you to take a listen and give us another chance in that regard. So, but that is it. On behalf of David and I, till next time, go Bills.
Enjoy some pizza and wings. Go Bills.